Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I left my voice somewhere in Cleveland, but I'm doing good, all things considered.
Maybe you have to draft a new voice. If only there was a process for that.
It'll come back.
Yes, well, hopefully, because I do like your voice. I like hearing from you. I like talking to you, and I really want to get your opinion about these new Packers players. So, there is tons of Packers news, but it is basically the premise of this episode. It's the NFL draft. It just happened. Jesse was there. The Packers were there. So we're just honestly going to get into it right away. I know entering the draft, I think we both agree on this, Jesse, the biggest need was cornerback, and it was all going to be about could they get the corners. I know we were hoping for Caleb Farley. I think he went a little earlier than maybe what we were anticipating. Maybe even hoping that the injuries would allow him to fall, but I mean, he went the top half of the first round, so it was kind of out of the Packers' reach. But they ended up not trading. It's funny because this will be of Brian Gutekunst's tenor. This will be his fifth pick and only the second one that he hasn't traded. First one was at 12 overall, Rashawn Gary, right? Like, that's not something you necessarily trade out of to get that type of player. That's not a position the Packers are used to being in. So for a late round pick like this, actually unprecedented for Gutekunst in a sense to not trade up, but either the players they want are unattainable, and it seems there was no one really worthy of trading up for. Maybe you'll disagree on that, I think, for sure, but they stuck at 29 and they took a player. So Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia. My initial instinct is, yay, it's a corner. It's not a quarterback. It's a cornerback, unlike last year. So I was already thought better success. But your initial reaction, I messaged you after the first round. It seemed not quite as, let's say, excited as mine. So what were your thoughts when you were at the draft and you heard that first round selection? You hear the name Eric Stokes, cornerback. What's going through your head at that point, Jesse?
Yeah, well, let me say I warmed up to it a little bit more because my instant reaction was a little over the top. So I'm sorry about that, but. Yeah, wasn't my highest guy still on the board. Everybody knows if you're listening to this pod that, you know, JOK is my guy, which he fell. I think he went about seven picks later. But I get it. And so right away in college, I don't think Stokes was even the best corner on his team. But the athletic ability is great. So, like, I get to pick, right? We needed a corner. Some draft boards, they had him as number four on their list. So that's pretty high. Some had him down a little bit more. I don't really like some people. Wow. It's a big reach. And then he's in a lot of people's 30s. So I don't see that as a reach. That's not a reach to me. I get the pick. He's 6'1", about 195, 200 pounds, super athletic, right? This kid ran back to back, 4.25 40s. So even if you have a fast clock, the kid can fly, right? Natural mover. A little grabby, but for what we want to do in the zone defense, I think he fits. My favorite thing about him, he's got such an awesome personality. With just listening to him become a Packer, he reminds me of Jamal Williams. He just glows. Team leader, he was a captain. So there's a lot of things to like, right? I think it's a safe pick where I don't think he's going to be awful. He's been relatively healthy, so that's more exciting than what we had with Kevin King. So, yeah. I don't see him starting right away, but he's going to start earning snaps. And, you know, King does get hurt, right, every single year. So this kid's going to be on the field. So it's not a bad pick. Was it my first choice? Instant reaction? Yeah, I was a little over the top on it, but I get it. I think he fits. I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramora. I think that's how you pronounce it. JOK, whatever. It's not a joke. I mean, he did fall out of the first round, and I think that was quite surprising. I remember last week doing a mock draft for Full Press Coverage, and I mocked him to the Packers at 29. I know you were super happy. I was thinking about you when I made the pick. Farley and all the other elite corners, at least that we had kind of discussed as the elite tier, they were all off the board. And so I thought just best player available, it seemed to make sense. But he ended up, I think he went like mid-second round to the Browns, I believe. So he fell a lot further than most were anticipating, if not everybody. So that was a little surprising. Wondering what's going on there. But yeah, again, I loved it. I love the position. As you know, for Stokes, I think one player that was maybe on the board that we might have been talking about, Asante Samuel. Now, everything I'm hearing about Samuel, someone kind of walked through exactly who he is, and it, like, okay, great in zone, can be a ball hawk, has natural instincts, but can get burned because he's of his aggressiveness. That's Kevin King to a T. And I've had enough of that, so I'm fine with going for a different style of corner in Eric Stokes. And so I don't know if it was even, like, in terms of corner, like, if you had your choice of corner, let's take JOK out of it. If you had your choice of corner at that point, who would you have gone with?
I would go with Stokes. Honestly, I think Samuel was the back end, to me, back end of round two. He's a little undersized, is not as athletic as, I mean, he plays with a great edge, but he's not as athletic as these other guys testing-wise. I'm not as high on Samuel as others. I think he's really good. I think he's going to have a place in the NFL. But I really like, for what we want to do with a lot of zone and stuff like that, we went with the, you know, we already have Jair, who's a little smaller. I'm not going to say small, but he's a little smaller. So we went with the bigger guy on the other side. Not as big as King, but King, you can see, obviously, he's fast, but he doesn't move. His agility is not as good. Where you watch Stokes move, it's natural. Moves really good. He's big. He can get physical. So yeah, that I like him better than Asante Samuel.
Do you think he has a chance to compete with Kevin King for the week one starter on the outside? Or do you think that the way the Packers coach, it's King's job for the year and they'll develop Stokes and he'll start week one 2022?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's King's job for the year, but I think, you know, right now, if you penciled in week one, it's Kevin King, you know, with the experience. But hey, this guy's going to push him for snaps, or, you know, if there's a mistake, we got a new defensive coordinator. So, right, the Packers like to take rookies a little slow, but if King's an easy out, you know, so we're not like married to him where he's got this huge contract and it's like he's better be on the field, right? So he can push for reps, and that's a good thing. One more thing with that, I think also what it does, that gives Jair, because we like to play a lot of three corners too, right? So that gives Jair where he can move around, you know, so he can follow somebody and you can have the two bigger guys on the outside too. So essentially, like, Jair can be like the slot guy, you know, not saying he's going to cover the wide receiver three or a slot receiver, but he can follow, you know, and that's kind of what the Rams did with Jalen Ramsey. So I think that gives us that flexibility also.
So again, before the draft, I kind of went on record. Okay, corner was the number one need. And then I identified three others as, and I mean, maybe not so specific, just offensive line, defensive line, and wide receiver. A lot of it for depth purposes, although, you know, we're looking for maybe a starter next year in 2022. And honestly, between those four positions, cornerback, offensive line, wide receiver, the Packers' first seven picks were spent on those four positions. So just from a team build, the positions they addressed standpoint, I loved this draft. I thought it was everything. And now it's really diving in, are these players worth it? That's where I want your help on here, Jesse. So moving into the second round, again, no trade so far for the Packers. They kept their natural pick at 62. So maybe a Corey Linsley replacement, but they went with the offensive line right away. Ohio State listed a center, Josh Myers. So what do you think of Myers?
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about replacement. So Linsley, Ohio State, Green Bay Packer, number 71. Guess what? Josh Myers, Ohio State, Green Bay Packers. They gave him 71. I think right now he's it's his job to lose. I really do. Like, he's a little bit bigger than Linsley. I wouldn't call him a mauler, but just tough. I mean, this guy is just tough. It's a Packer lineman pick. He hasn't played guard, but they said he could play guard. You know, I think he could play guard, but he's a center. I love it. I think it's a great pick. It fills a spot that's neat. You know, I think Lucas Patrick can play center, and of course Elton Jenkins could play anywhere. But I love the pick. I think it's a perfect fit. It's nothing sexy about it, right? You know, typical Packers, hey, we're not going to be flashy. But, you know, for all the people that say we don't go in or we don't try to get guys that are going to help us right now and in the future, this guy's going to help us right now. Just an awesome pick.
Certainly, yeah. And I mean, so shaping up right now with that offensive line, okay, let's run it if Bakhtiari is healthy. We're thinking Myers is the starting center right between, I would assume, Jenkins and Patrick?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I guess the scenario where Bach isn't healthy, is it as simple as Jenkins is on the left tackle and John Runyon inserts into the lineup? I think we're on the same page with that.
Yeah, I do. 100% I do. And again, I think the biggest thing is Elton Jenkins is the piece where, are the Packers thinking right now he's the right tackle of the future? And that's why they got these like kind of guard tackle guys, and Billy Turner can play guard too. So I think that's the play. But what you're saying day one with Bach healthy, I think you keep Jenkins home. I do.
I also like it for if Josh Myers is starting week one at center, it's nice to have Jenkins on one of his sides. Like, Lucas Patrick's good, but he's not, like, going to help you be a difference maker, but Jenkins can. It's just that extra attention. Maybe it'll help Myers, you know, simplify with the blocking schemes, certainly in pass protection, knowing if you're ever going to chip, it's going to be with Patrick in most instances, unless you're blocking one-on-one. You can leave Jenkins alone and he should be fine. That left side of that line is pretty solid. So maybe that's also maybe the advantage there, where they probably want to keep Jenkins at guard at least one more season.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you got Bach and then Jenkins. You can insert player here at center and you're not going to pick the brains of better guys on your left side. Like, the left side's fine. Leave them on their island. And yeah, you know, I think the right side, where not going too far ahead of myself here, but you can kind of see the difference and change up front, where we used to be super athletic, a little smaller line. I think Goody is really trying to get these guys a little beefier and a little more mass behind them, where they don't have to be they're athletic enough, right? They're hitting thresholds, but you're not asking for these just smaller tween guys. We're getting some muscle up there, so it's good to see.
Because, I mean, even Bakhtiari, when he came out, he was smaller, and that might have been why he fell, I believe, to the fourth round, which is incredibly ridiculous. And it seemed like he got stronger as he was in the pros. Year three, year four is when he really filled out his frame.
Yeah, he came in at, like, I think it was like 296 or 297. I mean, yeah, he was smaller. Now he's all of 310 playing weight, I believe. So, yeah, he got bigger and stronger for sure.
All right, so the second pick on day two, so into the third round, we also get the Packers' first trade here. They moved up, I believe, with the Titans in order to get this particular player. Wide receiver, and Amari Rodgers is his name, from Clemson. So big schools, again, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, right off the bat, you know, going to those Power 5 schools, those blue chip programs, as they call, I think, blue check mark, I'm not sure. I'll have to verify that later. But Amari Rodgers, wide receiver. I know you wanted a very particular type of wide receiver. You happy with what they got in Rodgers?
This is probably my favorite pick in the draft. I freaking love it. So it was cool to hear Goot talking about how he said it was Myers and Rodgers, and they were going back and forth. That's how close they were with these two players. So that's cool that they were able to trade up and get them, because they were that close on them. And you talk about a different, you know, body type or a different kind of guy to fit with our already, you know, of course, everybody says Rodgers doesn't have weapons. This guy's a weapon. Crazy, about 2 months ago, he kind of predicted he was going to be a Green Bay Packer, and we got him. I love it. He's going to be able to do so much in this offense. My favorite pick by far. It's an A+ move up right there.
They paid quite a price. Like, didn't they have to move their fourth round pick and their third just to move up, I guess maybe a dozen spots?
Yeah, they kept their fourth comp and then their fourth round pick. Yep. So yeah, they really like this kid, because like they said, they were willing to take him in round two. So, it was worth it to him.
Yeah, they probably didn't think that, yeah, a player that high, they didn't think they were going to get it. And again, it's the skill set they need, the slot receiver, right? Like that's that body type, this the quick, shifty movement. Like, it seems like that's his game.
Yeah, and he's bigger. I mean, he's, you know, 210, 212. I mean, this is like a Steve Smith mentality kind of guy. You know, just to hear some other like pros talking about him and said, like, this guy is going to fit. This guy's got that dog in him. I love it. That's what we need. You know, we got the bigger, longer kind of receivers that, of course, none of them are under contract going, you know, after the season. Now you got that smaller dog guy. Like, a lot of, right away, it's like, oh, he can be the Randall Cobb. Well, maybe body wise, but they're not going to use him like Randall Cobb. This guy's, well, maybe to a point, you know, but it's not McCarthy's offense, right? But he's going to be able to run the jet sweeps. You know, just get him touches. Just give this kid touches, and he's going to be bigger than a lot of corners that are going to try to cover him, and let him just beat up on dudes. I love it. It's just perfect.
Would it be fair to say he's like a faster, stronger version of Cobb? Or is that just too diminishing of Cobb there?
No, I mean, listen, Randall Cobb was a great football player for us, but I think he won with a lot of his, you know, football IQ. This guy's, yeah, like you said, he's built like a running back. I mean, it's a little bit the bigger, faster Cobb.
All right. And I mean, again, right now, Amari Rodgers is the only wide receiver the Packers have under contract going into 2022. So that just knowing he's there is nice. Obviously, they need to fill out the room a little more. But, you know, so the fact that, I mean, that, again, I was a little surprised at the price they paid. I'm thinking back last year, that's basically what they gave up to move up probably just as many spots or maybe just a fewer spots in the first round, not in the third round. So two rounds later, move up about the same amount and pay the same price tells me they really liked him and they really miss, you know, they probably could have went with him. Obviously, they didn't think Josh Myers would be there in the second round. And so, you know, I do wonder, you know, if they'd went Rodgers right away, if they could make that trade up and not cost as much later, I'm not sure. But obviously, either way, I believe he was, you had him mocked in one of your draft simulations. You had Rodgers going to the Packers, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was between him and Eskridge, and yeah, I had him on, I believe, the second one I did. And, you know, the big thing, too, trading up, you have to find a dance partner, too. So, and that's what Goody was saying. He's like, after we got Myers, we were on the phone calling everybody. Like, we wanted this kid. So they were probably throwing that fourth rounder, you know, or maybe they were throwing a fifth and they weren't getting it. And they're like, okay, starting to sweat it. So they threw in that fourth. The year before we gave up two fourths. So yeah, it was a little bit expensive, but I think they're also thinking with the Lindsley comp that they should get next year, it was worth it. Cause they're going to get a nice, probably a third. So, yeah, I love the player. He's going to help right away. That's another thing. He's going to be on the field right away. He's going to get touches.
And again, I think all three of these players, like Stokes, Myers, Rodgers, we all expect them to contribute from year one. Maybe if they're not starting right away, at least at some point they're going to be on the field seeing snaps and playing some significant time. We expect anyway.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll do an overview at the end, but that's exactly what this draft is kind of leaning towards, right? Like these guys are going to help right away.
Like you said, they had a comp pick in the fourth round, so that with that compensatory pick, it probably gave them the idea, okay, knowing that, all right, we'll give up this pick, knowing they're picking what? I think it was maybe 10 picks later, or maybe even less. That might have been like 5 picks later. So thinking, okay, if we got 2 picks so close, we'll give up one of them. Doesn't really matter which one. We want it, like, they're probably thinking at that point, there's probably 5 players we could take, so we don't mind giving up the first pick in order to make it happen. Again, expensive, but if it's worth it and get the player you want, I know you're really happy, and for you to be so excited and say it's the best pick, even with that trade-up, tells me it was definitely worth it in terms of that player. Now, what they, you know, what they got in the fourth and what they could have gotten in the fourth, I don't know if that enters into it, but I think it probably shouldn't, right? Like it's whatever you gave up for a player, if the player works out, then it doesn't matter. If the player fits the role and the need you wanted to by saying, okay, we were willing to give up this to make that happen, then I think it's worth it. But again, we'll have to see him get on the field to fully say that. But yeah, definitely, I don't know, I wasn't feeling the trade up for Jordan Love, let's say that. And so this is, I can stomach this one a bit better.
Right, you know, and like all these GMs have, you know, they have their tiers of players. So if they had, you know, Amari Rodgers tiered in at that late second round pick, yeah, that fourth rounder, it, like you're saying, you know, to them, they're like, there's nobody on the board in the fourth that we feel like if we missed out on Rodgers would be like, okay, we're just cool with that. So they loved him. Hopefully everything works out.
All right. So let's move on to day 3 now. So we were talking about that compensatory fourth pick. The Packers used it on Royce Newman, a guard out of Mississippi. So Jesse, what do you think about Royce Newman?
Okay, well, I'll tell you when they got him. I can honestly say out of all the guys, like, because I try to get as much information I can, I'm like, who? It's, you know, one of those Packer picks on a lineman where, you know, comes out of nowhere, kind of like, okay, who's that? And then you do a little bit of research and you're like, okay, I can see it. Fitz Packer, you know, he's slated guard, but I think he played right tackle his senior year. So he can bounce back and forth. He definitely has the size to play tackle. Just that, you know, blue collar, lunch pail kind of player. He fits. I, you know, I don't see him right now, day one, being like, okay, he's going to push for a starting spot, but he could be that guy that could fill in on, I don't think he can play left tackle, but he can fill in on 3 other spots, both guard positions and right tackle. And they might be, I think he's going to be, you know, a right tackle kind of prospect for the future if they don't move Elton Jenkins out there. But I like it. He's got some nasty to his game, plays hard. He's got to clean up some stuff, but I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, just the way you're saying underrated, versatile offensive lineman. Of course, the Packers would spend a fourth round pick on it, right? Like that's their mantra, whether it's Ted Thompson or Brian Gutekunst. Like it seems like that's been the way for a while.
Yeah, it's just they research, you know, Senior. Well, this is the crazy thing, you know, the Senior Bowl this year had the most ever. If you went to the Senior Bowl, you were probably getting drafted because that we didn't have a lot to go by on. This kid went to the Senior Bowl. Guess what? Probably moved him up a couple rounds. So they like what they've seen. I think it's going to be a solid pick going forward.
All right. So moving on, sticking with the line, only going to the defensive side now. Really, it's actually, so fifth round, 173rd, it was their first defensive pick since the first round pick of Eric Stokes. So they went offense three straight through there. Let's say four straight, but they got rid of that second fourth. Again, Amari Rodgers, it was worth it. But now, getting to the fifth pick, and they actually had two picks very close. So they had their natural fifth and then another compensatory fifth, and those were only separated by five picks. So starting with the 173rd overall, Tadarrell Slayton, a defensive tackle out of Florida. So, Jesse, give me your thoughts about Slayton.
Hey, another guy I mocked to us in one of our mock drafts.
That's right. I thought I recognized the name. Yeah. So you see, we were talking about that. You were wondering, I bet none of these guys go to the Packers. And we already got two in the first five picks. So good job.
Yeah. Right. Well, don't say good job yet. We don't know. But yeah, just a big human being, right? But this guy, like when you see 330, he's played as big as 350 and then he trimmed down a little bit and he's closer to 330 now. But he doesn't carry bad weight. This is just a big dude. And he can move. I actually, like, the biggest knock on him, which is kind of surprising, is he's not as good against the run yet. But it's not, he's a try-hard effort. He explodes first step. Great pick. This is probably my second favorite pick. I just think he fills a need D-line where you can put him on the nose with a little bit of coaching up and you can move Kenny Clark around. Yeah, it's, the big thing for me was, if we're going to get D-line guys, I don't want a big guy and then they question their motor. Like, there's no questions about this guy motor. He goes hard, maybe needs to, get a little bit better, a little bit of better stamina, but we're not going to ask him to take, 60 snaps a game. But I think there's another guy that can come in, year one and help out and eat up some snaps, by the second half of the season. You might see more and more of him. The upside on him, amazing. I think he could have went a lot higher. So I love the pick.
Yeah, assuming Kenny Clark plays anywhere between 2/3 and 3/4 of the snaps on defense throughout the season, it's still going to be enough of a rotation between Kiki, Lowry, Lancaster, and maybe now Slayton. Like, he might enter in there as one of the first four guys in that rotation, and who knows how he shows himself in training camp. And when I meant good job on you for predicting how the Packers would draft. In terms of this is all on the Packers. Like, you've done your job, Jesse. You've informed the listeners. This is on the Packers, making sure they develop these players properly.
Right, yeah, and I think, this is a guy right now, when you talk about depth, he might be pushing Lowry out. As much as Lancaster fills a role, he always did best when he didn't get as many snaps. So now you get another guy who's actually bigger than him that can play the nose. It can keep everybody fresh, and just it just bolsters the group overall. So I love the pick right here.
So now, again, five picks later, compensatory fifth, they address cornerback. So, they went, offensive line twice in the first four picks, going corner twice, I guess, in the first seven picks. So, they definitely weren't afraid to double dip, and we'll see even triple dip at a certain position. But here in the fifth round, we've got Shamar John Charles, a cornerback out of Appalachian State. So, corner twice. I'm happy about that. I feel like they need it. So, what's your take on John Charles? Or Gene Charles, sorry. I'm bad with names.
Shamar Gene Charles. Dude, this guy was a stud. App State, you hear and see a lot here. So I've seen this guy. He's going to play in the NFL. He's going to have a spot. So over the last 2 years, a fun stat with him, only one cornerback in the whole draft had more pass defenses than him, and that was Patrick Surtain. Yeah, now it's, SEC versus him playing in a smaller conference. But this guy's a ball player. I love his attitude. He said, hey, if I got to make this team playing special teams, I'll do it. I've always been overlooked because he's a little small, but this guy had another dog. Here's another guy that plays hard. Good pick. As in the fifth round right now, you're looking for those guys that just got that attitude that are going to come in and grind for you. I think he's that. He's going to be a slot. You're not going to ask him to play on the outside, but he can push Chandon Sullivan for his job. I don't know if it's going to be right away, but he comes in there and he's showing he's playing. That makes other guys, hey, I got to step it up. So I love the pick.
We like Channon Sullivan certainly a lot more than PFF likes him. You know, he was graded pretty ridiculously low, at least for what we were watching. I mean, you know, a lot of receptions allowed, but not a lot of yards after the catch. He was a pretty sure tackler. And, I mean, you know, for slot receivers, that's kind of what we expect from them, right? Is they're going to get, you know, shorter depth of targets, but easier to make those catches. And so maybe that's the next step for Sullivan, is to try and maybe take more risks. I thought, you know, for the most part, though, played it pretty technically sound, right? Okay, you know, he wasn't going to try and jump a route and risk missing a tackle. So, you know, I felt that keeping the play in front of him and getting guys down, he did a really good job at that. So we'll see if Gene Charles can compete for that. I mean, you know, healthy competition's good. So not to say Sullivan can improve. He certainly can. And maybe this pushes him forward. But I thought he took massive leaps just in the sense that he was a regular NFL player last year. He wasn't just a part-time, you know, use him as part of a rotation, mostly when in 2019 was whenever Tremon Williams needed to come off the field. But Sullivan played as a full-time slot corner last year, and let's see what happens in his first year after that, the first offseason after that. But yeah, certainly I don't mind having more cornerback depth. I love defensive back depth, so you know, good pick in that sense. And again, another position, we go to the sixth round, another position that was addressed, I guess, technically the third time if we go offensive line in general. Homegrown in the school sense, but Cole Van Lannen, a guard out of Wisconsin. So what do you see as part of the plan? We've already talked a little bit about you know, what we think the plans are with Josh Myers and Royce Newman. What are you thinking for Cole Van Lannen?
Yeah, you know, Bayport High, just outside of Green Bay. Again, another... where it's looking like we're just trying to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical. He played some tackle at Wisconsin, but he's going to be a guard in the NFL. It's a depth piece right now. I like it. You know, it's always cool to see a kid, you know, from the Green Bay area become a Packer. He was super excited about it. So he's got a pretty crazy story. He retired from football, I think it was in 2019 or maybe it was 2018. From injury, yeah, 2019, from injuries and stuff like that. And he was worried about coming, you know, just, I don't know if it's concussions or what, I didn't read too much in it. But, yeah, he was just kind of worried about it. And then he came back and he missed some games last year. But I think the upside was there. He's a good athlete. Why not? You know, again, sixth round, like you said, take a shot at a guy where he's good enough to play, and if you can get a future starter or at least some depth where you can throw him out there, kind of like John Runyon Jr. last year. Like, this guy played in the Big Ten. He liked to run the football. When they threw him out there, he held his own. And I think he's there where, you know, heaven forbid we got injuries and we got to keep going down the depth chart. This might be a guy that can step in and he'll hold his own.
Because just how the Packers have constructed this roster right now, it seems like the tackle depth is the starters at guard that they're going to move out, and the players they're bringing in are going to just move into guard spots. So if, you know, something happens to Bakhtiari, they're just going to put Elton Jenkins out at left tackle and they'll bring in another guard, Runyon or maybe Van Lannen if he can beat him out. You know, if something happens to Billy Turner, probably the same thing, just move Jenkins out there or, you know, switch it up, Jenkins to right, Billy Turner at left tackle. Like, I feel like that's the kind of the replacement. So you look at it, there's technically only, what, three tackles on the roster, and one of them is Billy Turner. You got Bach, Turner, and then probably Josh Neiman. I don't know, but there might be some other tackles I'm not aware of. But like, in terms of just guys that are pure offensive tackle as a position, it's not an abundance on the team, but there's a ton of guards, and that's where they'll draw from this tackle depth. I mean, they might, you know, maybe even Royce Newman, if he can adjust the NFL right away, like you were saying, Jesse, he can play guard and tackle. Maybe that's some tackle depth for them too, and maybe he operates as a swing tackle in the short term. So it seems like that's how they're going to go about it. I mean, I was complaining about the lack of depth of tackle last year. Then we saw, okay, well, they can play Jenkins out there. And okay, Wagner's actually not too old. I thought he held his own whenever he needed to play last year pretty well. And so, you know, the tackle depth was more than what I know I certainly had anticipated and what was seemed to be apparent at the start. So, you know, you look at this roster right away, okay, maybe lack of tackle depth, but I think we, you know, learned from last year that that's not necessarily the case. And, you know, these guys that are coming in, they're going to try and move those guys to guard and move the established players out to tackle more and kind of work at it from that. At least that's the sense I'm getting.
Right. And that's why I keep leaning more. We're like, hey, maybe they're just thinking Elton Jenkins instead of paying, you know, making him the highest paid guard and, you know, wasting that talent because he's so good, slide him out to right tackle because there's not going to be a better one that you're going to draft, right? Or another thing saying, like, Matt LaFleur might be like, hey, I'm going to throw the best five guys out there. Let them go out there. Let them compete. And we got enough where we can move these guys around. I mean, left tackle shut down. Jenkins is going to start. Billy Turner can play in or out. But the next two spots, no matter where they're at, put the best five on the field. And I kind of like that. And that's pretty awesome that the Packers have so many moving pieces where we can move these guys around and shuffle them around. And we're still a top O-line. So, it was a need going into this.
The sixth round, they also had a compensatory pick. So this is another instance where the late sixth, the natural pick, and then soon up after that, another pick. So the two sixth round picks were separated by only six spots. So Cole Van Lannen, 214th overall. And then at 220th overall, they draft Isaiah McDuffie, a linebacker out of Boston College. Late linebacker, of course. Kamal Martin in the fourth last year is probably about as early as it's going to get for linebacker drafting, apparently, now. So I'm not shocked that they went late on a linebacker. It's a total Packers move.
So another guy I'll admit I didn't know a lot about, but a little bit undersized. Coming into college, though, he was New York State High School Player of the Year. So plays hard, feisty. His dad was a head coach, so he's heady, played at Boston College, smart kid. I don't know if he's going to make the roster right away, but this just screams, you know, practice squad guy. And then if he ever gets onto the roster, game day roster, going to be a special teams ace. The nicest thing I like to hear about him for a smaller guy, he plays around 220, is he can get off blocks and he plays with his hair on fire. Hey, that's what we need, guys that can get off of blocks and, you know, play sideline to sideline. So, you know, why don't throw some darts at the dartboard if he can stick or show that, hey, I deserve some snaps. Hopefully we have a preseason this year to see what he's got. You know, this might be a nice little gem.
From what I'm looking at, he had 100 tackle season last year, 107 tackles, and it was fifth in the entire, in all of the FBS. So, pretty productive, tackling machines. That's kind of what we're looking for. We got some guys, you know, Chris Barnes, Kamal Martin, not much depth behind them. So, I'm thinking most of this class, including McDuffie here, can compete to at least make the roster here. So I think that it's well set up in that sense.
100%. I agree. 100%.
Final round, final pick. At 256th overall, the Packers select Kylan Hill, running back from Mississippi State. I was going to say Newman's teammate, but that's Mississippi, not Mississippi State. But I will say... Actually, I'll let you talk about Kylan Hill first, because I know I have quite a lot to say about running backs, especially. And I do have quite a lot to say about Hill, someone I've been excited about for a while. So
that's why I was going to let you take this one, because this is one of your guys you mentioned. You really liked him. I kind of downplayed him a little bit, but as a seventh round pick, I love it. So why don't you take the floor on this one?
Actually, you mocked him in one of your simulators, didn't you?
I did.
I think it was a little earlier than the seventh round, though, which I was surprised he fell this far, I'll be honest.
I couldn't believe it was a weird draft and some guys that didn't even get drafted that I thought would, which we can talk about if we have time. But yeah, I think I had him in the fifth. I thought, like, if he's there in the fifth, it's a steal. He fits, third down guy, could play the Jamal Williams role. He's just tough. He's tough.
In my running back rookie tape analysis, it's the position I probably concentrated on the most. And so detailed enough scores there. And out of how many did I think it was definitely over 20 guys, about 25 guys, I think I looked at. And Kylan Hill was number one in my rankings in contact balance, you know, even over a guy like Najee Harris, right, who went in the first round. And that's definitely his strength. But Hill, his ability to survive through contact, and again, that's college. It's not going to be as good in the NFL, but you know, there are times when he's taking full on hits from these, you know, pretty big linebackers, because Mississippi State, that's an SEC school, right? So he's in a Power Five conference, so he's playing against some pretty good linebacking corps.
Career average of 5.3 in the SEC. You're doing something right.
Yeah, and I know I was super excited about him coming out last year. I would have definitely had him as one of the top five running backs in the class last year. I know that top five all went really early. This seemed like this was a year for a relatively weak running back class. It was kind of the talk beforehand, and it did manifest in the draft. Only four running backs taken in the first 2 days. Day three, we got to see a bit more, but you know, maybe it the lack of running backs being taken so much kind of forced guys like Hill and Jamar Jefferson, who ran around right around this range as well. And I liked both. In my overall tape grades, I had both in the top five. I believe I had Kylan Hill third. And so like even ahead of Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams in the overall score. So I really, really like Kylan Hill. And I think, you know, for a third running back for the Packers, that's incredible. Like, I think in your draft simulator in the article, you had mentioned, you know, taking Kylan Hill, it does give the Packers, like, legit number one running backs every time, through their first three players, whether it's Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Kylan Hill, whoever's on the field, you could trust that they will produce to a you know, relative level over, you know, just like a normal replacement level player that they bring in. Whoever's the fourth running back, I'm not even sure. Might not even be a guy on the roster, because I think that's a really solid trio. And so I'm excited about that. And the fact that they spent a seventh round pick practically free and to get a player of that quality, I'm super excited about. And yeah, I love running backs a little too much. That's my thing. But I felt that the Packers got a great player at an incredible value price.
I agree. I mean, like I said, I thought, you know, fifth round, this guy, you're going to get a steal where this guy can go out there and, you know, he might not be that game breaker, but this is like, I keep comparing him to Jamal Williams, where he's going to fall forward. He's going to get you yards. It's not like this guy is just going to like dance in the backfield. It's one cut. He's going forward. He doesn't go down easy. And you know, if you're going to, it's going to be a business decision, you know, the Eddie Lacy stuff, where if you're going to try to face him head on, good luck. And this is a guy where if you have a three-headed monster, what Green Bay has right now with Dillon and Jones, you bring this guy in to give the other guys a breather, you know, you're going to wear teams out. Now you're getting a bigger lineman where they're going to put hats on defensive linemen. Good luck linebackers trying to tackle these guys. And then you got the, you can put Jones in motion, and now you got Amari Rodgers in motion. You put one of these hosses in the backfield. I love it. Matt LaFleur in his third season, and now with this whole playbooks, everything's going to be there. Great pick. It's a great pick.
Absolutely. And I think I would like to talk undrafted free agents, especially Packers undrafted free agents. But I also feel like maybe next episode is best served for that, because I do want to touch on things. And maybe it's not even that I want to, but I feel like Packers fans may be really nervous right now. So I don't know if we want to reassure them or not about some things that are happening. So I guess it's not the only time the Packers were in the news. It was obviously not just about the selections they made. It seems like they were actually more in the news because of their quarterback. So Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of speculation right now. And I do mean speculation, because, and I'll ask you, Jesse. So regarding Aaron Rodgers, what do we actually know right now?
We know that, well, one, we know that they're trying to work something out, right? Both sides have admitted to, you know, there's been talks. I don't think they're meeting in the middle. And I think there's a little bit of, it's a little tough sledding right now. That's all we know. Now, how mad everybody is or how far off they are, the media tell you, you know, it's World War III, but that's all we really kind of know.
It's funny, the thought that someone saying, Roger said this was said to someone in the organization, that like there's a lot of he said, she said, and none of it I'm hearing from Aaron Rodgers. In fact, one of the few things he said regarding the Packers is he wants to be there still, and he's trying to rework a contract, right? You know, the Packers have said that too. Doesn't sound like someone who's saying, I never want to play for this team again. And I know that there's a lot of sources that are saying they absolutely know this for sure, and it's totally true. I'm going to call a little bit of BS there, because let's look back to just before the draft. The third pick overall, and I think this is very key. I'm going to circle back to the third pick overall a few times through this discussion. So we'll start there with this. It was going to be Mac Jones. Like, it was locked in Mac Jones. Everyone was freaking out because, like, why would they trade up for Mac Jones? It didn't make sense, right? And even the fact that that didn't make sense didn't stop people from saying they knew for sure it was Mac Jones, right? And these people were, you know, all the certainty in the building. And honestly, it was certain it was going to be Trey Lance then, and it ultimately was. One of the things that I consistently heard from the building is no one actually knows. Shanahan and Lynch haven't told anyone. Those two know what they're doing, and no one else knows. None of their scouts know. Everyone's brought them information, and they're not giving out any information to anyone on their team. And ultimately, the pick was Trey Lance, so everyone who was adamant that it was Mac Jones kind of looked foolish. And if it's a lot of these same people that are touting this about Rodgers, I take that with a massive grain of salt. Several thousand grains, in fact, if you want to be exact. I'll be honest, I don't I don't really buy any of this, mostly because what has the last 4 or 5 years been? The national narrative around Aaron Rodgers and the Packard, it's a strained relationship. First was McCarthy and Thompson and both of them, and unfortunately gone permanently for Ted Thompson. May he rest in peace. But McCarthy fired. Thompson eventually moved up to position of president. And then you got Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur now, and the drama is still there. And Rodgers has still played for the Packers through this last half decade, where it seems like the national narrative has been nothing but he doesn't want to play for them. Like, that really hasn't manifested itself at all. Now, last year, the pick of Jordan Love. That's obviously, I think since then, it's been kicked to overdrive, right? The Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers has seemed almost inevitable. Honestly, I think we think that too. My initial thoughts, looking at when Jordan Love was drafted, looking at the contract immediately, what hasn't been restructured yet, so with that contract that still exists, my timeline was, I'm seriously thinking that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be on the Packers in 2022. Everything that's happened so far, that hasn't changed, but it also hasn't accelerated. Like, I still expect Aaron Rodgers to be playing for the Packers in 2021. And, this might very well be his last season. I don't know if you get that same sense now, Jesse. But to me, like, nothing that's happened in the last year has changed that, though. Like, that was my thoughts right from the get-go. So all this drama now isn't really... I don't really think it has much of an impact. This, again, drama that we're not even sure is real.
I agree with everything you're saying. Just what a crappy thing to happen on Thursday before. It should have been about the draft, right? So you know that this is all talking head crap. Nobody in Green Bay was going to release it, kind of like what you're saying with San Francisco. Like, who are these jabronis that are saying, hey, we know it's Mac Jones. Come on, quit throwing smoke out there, right? So Goody talks on Wednesday saying Rodgers is our QB for the foreseeable future. That's what he said, and he said, we're in conversations, and restructure or extension. That sounds like the two words that they're not getting along on. I get that. I get that 100%. I get that. Even, hey, maybe that Jordan Love pick rubbed Rodgers the wrong way. I get that. That was a year ago. Now they got the, hey, we didn't keep, Jeff Janis, and that's why Rodgers wants out. Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, if Rodgers is that petty, yeah, move on from him. But I can't believe it right now. So, yeah, just let this fire keep going. And, all these people are going to make up these stories, because who are the sources? The closest people to Rodgers, who like Bach and Cobb and AJ Hawk, who are all with him at the race this week. AJ Hawk came on and said, he's like, he's playing next year. He's like, and he doesn't want Goody fired. And he left it at that. And he said, and both sides made mistakes over the years. He kind of downplayed it. So just everybody pump your brakes. It's just, I hate that it happened this weekend. Trust me, every person that talked to me, we had to talk about this, and it was like mind numbing, because I'm like, I'm not even going to talk about it anymore, because it's just going to get, the media is going to make it worse before they make it better. So it's making everybody look bad. And I get where silence speaks a lot for Rodgers. I think Rodgers is being smart. He's like, I'm not even going to put myself out there right now. And I think that's smart by him. So I hope we're wrong, and this isn't as bad as they're making it seem. I hope it's wrong. It's a wait and see for me, and I'm not going to read a lot into it.
I mean, there's three distinct possibilities. I suppose they theoretically exist now still. Rodgers plays for the Packers for another season, and then from there they'll decide, after that it's who knows, right? But for 2021, there's three possibilities. Rodgers plays for the Packers. Rodgers gets traded. Rodgers retires. I'll be perfectly honest. I think option two, that ship has already sailed. When the things were coming out Thursday, I actually maybe gave it some weight. Like, if the 49ers are serious and they're going to move the 103 to get Rodgers, okay. That's 103 plus what? Like, what's the package that they're going to get? Because just getting Trey Lance or Justin Fields, that's not enough.
Not enough.
Right? And I do wonder if that's, like Gutekunst was saying, like, oh yeah, we got offers, but we didn't take it seriously. I wonder if that was that. It was, we'll give you the 103 for Rodgers straight up. Like, no. How many firsts are we talking here, right? So,
and they don't have any firsts. The Niners just sold all their firsts, so they have no ammo.
And so my thought was, as soon as that 103 went and Trey Lance was the pick announced to the 49ers, my thought was that it's done. That ship sailed. They're not, the 49ers aren't getting him. They exercised every option, and now they have no choice but to take Lance. Now we're hearing the Denver Broncos. Really, the Denver Broncos. It was the same thing. As soon as at 109, they didn't trade it or take a quarterback. Good job, Denver. What a great organization that is. As soon as that didn't happen, I thought there's no way. Because they're like, here's the, oh, Patrick Surtain, the Packers need a corner. Yes, but they're not going to trade Rodgers just to get another corner. Like, they're not, like, so, like, at this point, what do the Broncos have that the Packers really want? Like, I'm going through the team and really, like, Bradley Chubb, like, that's probably the best piece. And it's like, how close does that really get? Because we've already got Rashawn Gary. We've already got Za'Darius Smith. Preston Smith's still on the team. Like, what is, like, Bradley Chubb isn't making that team better. I'm to the point where, if this is true, if Rodgers really doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore, call his bluff. Let him retire. Because I think that's worth more than whatever they would get back in return. The thought of knowing that you don't ever have to play against Aaron Rodgers ever, that he plays his whole career for the Packers, and you never have to worry about him playing against your defense. I think that's worth more than any package they'd get in return, unless it's a godfather offer. But at, really, the Packers team is set up now. If they lose Rodgers, what they need is a quarterback. What quarterback are they getting? What team is giving up a quarterback to get Rodgers? Like, are we talking, like, is Russell Wilson that upset in the Seahawks that you'd make a Rodgers-Wilson trade? Like, I guess. I don't know that either side really wants to do that. You know, are the Chiefs giving up Patrick Mahomes? No. Outside of that, like, you know, Deshaun Watson might have been that guy. I know maybe I referenced that before all the news with Deshaun Watson happened. So that ship sailed now, I think. Like, there's nothing, there's no trade out there that makes sense. So I think that at this point, there are two options. Aaron Rodgers plays in 2021 for the Packers, or Aaron Rodgers retires from the NFL. And just like you were saying, like, if A.J. Hawk said, Aaron Rodgers said this to me. Like, this is, again, this still isn't directly we're hearing it from Rodgers' mouth, but this is someone that we know, you know, Rodgers has a close group of people that he communicates with, and A.J. Hawk is within that group. So, you know, A.J. Hawk or Pat McAfee says, Rodgers said this to me. I'll put weight on that. So if he's saying Rodgers isn't retiring, there's nothing left. Rodgers is playing for the Packers this year. Again, and if they can't reach an agreement, they'll trade him next year. Before the draft, when there's time in season, because at this point it's too late. Like, you've already used up all the draft picks. So teams this year, like, that's the great the best ammunition you get is a draft. You know, if you make this trade in April, this draft, you know, coming in a couple weeks, you get to make these picks in a couple weeks. Like, that's a really great draw. They're not going to trade them for 2022 picks, because the thing is, any team you trade a pick to, that team gets Aaron Rodgers. They're instantly better. You know, Rodgers has, what, two losing seasons as a starter? One was his rookie year, so let's throw that out because he was just getting started. And then a couple years ago when he was, you know, really injured, they went, what, I think 6-9-1, and they picked 12th. Like, are you really doing this for the 12th overall pick in 2022? Like, that's, because, again, I like, any team that's getting Rodgers is going to win games. So, again, I think it's, at this point, I think it's pretty closed, and until I hear anything different, I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers is playing for this team.
Yeah, I agree. So the one thing I'll say with the Broncos, I'll circle back to that. So like you're saying, right, it's not gonna, there, nothing's gonna be straight up. You better blow my mind with an offer. So I've been talking with a few people on forums. The only way it makes sense with Denver, it'd have to be after June 1st right now, because like you said, if it didn't happen on draft day, that ship's kind of sailed a little bit, but hey, okay. After June 1st, that getting rid of Rodgers or trading Rodgers, instead of like being a $6 million savings right now because all the dead cap space, it would turn to 25. So yeah, if Denver's calling me, yeah, Bradley Chubb doesn't make you better today, but he's your number three rusher. I want Bradley Chubb. I want Jerry Jeudy. I want probably Patrick Surtain, and then your next three number ones, and then maybe we'll talk. Maybe we'll talk. Okay, we'll give them that and we'll take away all their best players. So they're not going to do that. Or if they did, they're stupid and we might entertain it. But that's not going to happen, right? Like you're saying, okay, well, they're saying maybe the Raiders. So what the heck do the Raiders have? Okay, your next like 10 number ones, then maybe Darren Waller. And then who else is good on the Raiders? I mean, Henry Ruggs? Nah, maybe probably not. But like you're saying, like if these teams want them, are you going to sell all your players around him to get Aaron Rodgers?
I definitely agree with you there, Jesse. And yeah, we can circle back to Broncos as much as we want. The NFL keeps doing it, and obviously nothing's happening from that. I am, I don't even know what to say anymore. Because even you mentioned that all like those offers, like what you know the Broncos could do, what the Raiders could do. Like Corey Littleton, do you throw him in? I know the Packers were interested in him, but like Corey Littleton's contract is a little more than they wanted to spend, so even that's a complication. Like at the end of the day, you're bringing in fifth or sixth overall pick in Chubb. Like that contract gets to be expensive, and you only have a couple years left on it. So like it's. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing anything happening now.
And that's where I'm at. Like, if we're going to be extreme, that's why I threw out those players, but nothing happened. It just sucked that it happened when these kids should have been the focus of attention that just got drafted. But it's going to be talk all the way till June 1st, because right now it's, like you said, it's pointless, and it's going to be pointless after that. So just ride the wave, people. Just ride the wave, and I really believe it's going to be okay.
Yeah, John Elway is not running the Broncos anymore, so he can't go and just, like, sell the farm for a quarterback. Like, he's not in a position to make that trade. If he was there, I could maybe give credence to it, because, like, that does seem like a guy that'll just blindly overspend to get him. But, with the new management in Denver, I think they want to be a little more conservative. And I mean, all the moves they say is they somehow believe in Drew Locke. Or they're banking on him tanking and they can get a quarterback next year. Either way.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Packers are being like, well, bring us Teddy Bridgewater. That'll be the answer. No, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, if they are moving on from Rodgers, it's because they believe in Jordan Love, too. They're not doing it. And then I think like they're going to do it when they think Jordan Love is ready, because they don't want to have to worry about the quarterback as part of the deal, because they know that diminishes the price of the return if you're getting a quarterback back. Because that other team, like, well, we're already giving you a quarterback. Like, we're not going to give you extra first. So it probably does seem like, any move they make, I don't know. It'll be at a point where they're losing some veteran players, or by saving the money off Rodgers' contract, they can sign even more players than what they would have before. So it'll have to also be a good year. I know the Adams extension. Like, you're gonna want Adams to be there for Jordan Love, I think. So that, like, if you're losing Rodgers, then suddenly Adams is like the utmost priority to make sure you get him, and that's gonna cost. And knowing Jordan Love's on a rookie contract, you can overspend. You make him the highest paid receiver in the league. He certainly deserves to be so. So again, we'll see. Rodgers leaving might almost make it easier to get Adams in that sense. Although, does Adams want to be there if Rodgers isn't there is the other complicated aspect. So this could circle around forever, and it's starting to get depressing. So we'll leave it there. So again, we'll talk more about the undrafted free agents, since maybe we'll look to some other teams and what they did. Unfortunately, the NFC North also had a really good draft. Like, all the other teams in the NFC North had good drafts, unfortunately. It wasn't like last year where the Packers, okay, the draft wasn't the greatest, but all the other teams in the North did pretty poorly drafting as well. So it kind of made you think, okay, not so big deal, but not the case this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a great topic for next time, because I think the NFC as a whole, a lot of teams had awesome drafts. So yeah, there's a lot to cover yet before we actually get into training camp.
And of course, if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, let us know on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Be your source for everything full press coverage Packers, including this podcast, all the articles Jesse writes. You can also get all those articles through the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. So download the Full Press Coverage app to get access to all that. Podcasts as well. Access to the Full Press Radio Network, which is going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So make sure you get all that for free on the Full Press Coverage app. Also, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at PA_IIOfficial for the intro and outro music we use. The song is Na You, which is written, recorded, and produced by PA the Second. So again, PA_IIOfficial. And of course, Jesse and I, you can reach us on Twitter. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. And I say, Jesse, do you have anything to say?
Probably why I lost my voice this weekend, but go Pack, go.
Glad you found it again. Glad you found your way back on the podcast. And we'll find you next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.